Hey, hi, hello. You are listening to episode 3 of the Reside Podcast. I am Brooke, I'm your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Whether you've listened to every episode so far, or if this is your first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Today's guest is someone near and dear to me, a trusted friend, mentor, and community guru, in my opinion. I'm talking to Michelle Dawson. We met in the unlikely place of Beaumont, Texas, a couple of years ago, and she opened my eyes to what true community looks and feels like. Today, we talk about all things community, from making friends as adults to creating community in new spaces. Y'all, my conversation with her was so good that I ended up turning it into 2 episodes. The things we're talking about today are really the epitome of what the Reside Podcast is all about. I'm so excited for you guys to hear them. And so without further ado, here's my conversation with Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Brooke.
How's it going?
Good. How are you? Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on and talking with me today. I'm excited to talk to you about all things community because I feel like you are really the person who kind of opened my eyes to the importance of it. I benefited a lot from your wisdom, so I'm excited for others to hear about what you have to say too. So I want to, before we dive into all the fun questions about community, just share with everyone how we met, who you are, what you do, all of that good stuff, where you live.
I am Michelle Dawson. I live in Beaumont, Texas, which is like an hour and a half. It's really close to the Louisiana border, which is where I met Brooke several years ago now. She was working for Exxon, and is that okay to say that?
Yeah.
You're not doing that anymore. Anyway, you were here. But before that, we lived in Florence, Italy, and we worked with a nonprofit called Crew. It's a Christian nonprofit that works with college students. And we were there for 9 years, and our 2 amazing kids were born there. And then we moved, straight from Florence, Italy to Beaumont, Texas, which was kind of a shocker.
Very different environment.
Very different. But before that, I'm originally from the Houston area, and then I went to school in Dallas and met my husband there. So we've been married 18 years, and I got married young. Yeah, my kids are 9 and 7. I am currently going back to school to get a master's degree in counseling. So at some point in the next couple of years, I will launch into the world of mental health.
I like to tell people that, so we met at church, and Michelle and Henry helped start kind of do a little church plant in Beaumont. And I visited the church at it was at an art museum, right? Beaumont, yeah. Southeast Texas, yeah. Art Museum at the time. And I remember you leading worship that morning and you were playing the ukulele. And I just remember thinking like, okay, I really want to be her friend. She is awesome. And then you came and introduced yourself to me and you just kind of took me under your wing. And that was really, really special and meant a lot to me. So I just remember being like, I really want to be her friend because she plays a ukulele and how awesome is that?
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're doing a church plant, it's sort of all hands on deck. You bring right. What you have to offer, and I have that ukulele to offer. So.
I feel like that's kind of a component of y'all's story with kind of building community in Beaumont. You guys have experience with building community in a place that might be a little more difficult to find community. And I feel like anyone that's in a new space, it's always difficult at first to find your people, to find your rhythms, all of those things. Maybe you can walk me through what that was like for you guys moving to a new place that was very different from Italy.
Yeah, well, both those moves were a little tricky. Obviously, to Italy and then moving back to Texas. I mean, Texas was something we knew, having been born and raised here, but both of us were raised more in bigger cities. You know, Beaumont has, you know, a lot different vibe. Yeah, I definitely felt like a fish out of water kind of everywhere I went there for a while. Yeah, it was not. And actually, when we moved back, you know, moving to Houston, and then at the last minute, my husband's job was like, we actually, you know, would you consider moving to Beaumont instead? So we didn't have much time to even prepare to move here, but we agreed to it because we were just grateful for the job and it was a good opportunity. But I immediately went and told my dad, and my dad had done some business here a long time ago, and he was was like, basically immediately was like, oh, Michelle, that's Vermont's not a nice place. And he told me, you know, all these things about it that he knew. And so I start looking on the internet. And of course, all these things my dad has said, of course, are people are just going on and on about.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh no, what have we done? But we, you know, plunged ahead. I remember a conversation with my mom where I said, well, so what? Maybe Beaumont's charmless. We'll bring the charm with us.
There you go. Create something for yourself.
But you know what? It took a little time, but it is not a charmless town at all. Mm. It's a complicated town, like many, many small towns are in America, but it's not a charmless town. But it did take us some time and some intentional choices to notice things here. And some of noticing those beautiful things was making a choice to stop noticing, to stop putting our, like, really, it's where our focus of attention is, right? It's the same complicated picture, no matter what, but choose how we focus on it. And so if I choose to focus on everybody being so different than me, or me feeling like the odd man out, I'm never going to see the people in this town that are a lot like me,
right?
Or the things in this town that are really beautiful that I do appreciate. Yeah. Some of it took, I mean, honestly, we probably had about 6 months of real struggle living here and just being discontent. And I'm sure some of that is just cultural transition, 9 years of, you know, switching from a very different life. So I think we probably would have crash landed anywhere we landed, honestly. You know, it took some time to shake off some of the transition and but once we sort of stretched out a little in the town, we started to notice some good things, and we started to bring ourselves into community and life just simply by making the choice to show up.
And I like your point about like crash landing maybe anywhere you would have gone. And because I definitely had a similar experience to you when I moved to Beaumont at first and really struggled with building community. I was just there to work and then pretty much went back to Houston on the weekends and all of that. But then ironically, once I moved back to Houston at the end of 2019, I had the same struggle adjusting back to Houston, which I was shocked at. Like, I really thought that it would just be, I can pick back up where I left off, no big deal. But it was the same adjustment. Mm. And there was still a couple of months of like loneliness and like, what do I do? And who do I talk to here? And so I like your point about it's not necessarily the place all the time. It's your kind of mindset and choice to like to dive in and to start kind of doing things. So what was that process like for you guys once y'all made the decision to, okay, we're going to make this place ours? What did that look like?
We actually had someone, to your point, we had somebody basically said, when you move to a new place, don't make any major decisions about anything for like a year. Like, don't decide you hate it or that you love it. Like, it's time. Same thing about parenting. We had that same advice about parenting. Like, don't, and marriage.
Don't go buy like a motorcycle or anything crazy.
No major, like, definitive statements about what your initial judgments about things are not always right. So knowing that, we intentionally did not commit to, like, in Italy, we were leading things and we were very involved and we were very, very busy the whole time. So for us, we just decided to take a break from all that. Henry would work. I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, so I just was staying home with them. And so we made a choice to just let life happen. But the thing we were very intentional about was showing up. So the very first time we got here, we showed up at a church, but we left the minute the church ended. We did not feel, because several people invited us to stay for the potluck lunch, and we were like, peace out. We showed up. But in time, slowly, we started showing up to other things like that. Very first week after we showed up to church, someone invited me to a women's Bible study that night. And I went. I am still surprised that I did it. I went to some random person's house that someone just gave me an address, and I showed up. And I think this is actually a good principle to live by. I sort of threw my will out ahead of my feelings, right? Throw it out and then let your feelings sort of catch up behind it. So I took several courageous moves towards friendship in those initial days. And thankfully, a lot of them paid out. So that night I came home, I didn't necessarily have any major friend connections, and I did not end up staying at that church or becoming great friends with anybody that was at that study that night. But I did get the number of a babysitter. And so I was able to go out and celebrate my anniversary, which is like the next week, which is huge for us to be able to start setting up normal life. You know, I had, before we had moved, I had set up some lessons for my kids at the local gym. So at least there was something for us to show up to right when we started, which is, I would think that's a great thing to do when you move to a new place, is figure out something that looks interesting and go ahead and sign yourself up for it. Even if you're like, I just moved here, I don't know anybody. Like I said, is just sort of make the big courageous step. So we did some lessons, and the very first day of some lessons, I saw another mom wearing a baby in a carrier. Elizabeth was still really little, and I was still wearing her like in my back, in one of those like backpacks. Another mom was doing that, and I heard her talking. I just literally eavesdropped her conversation talking about running. And I sort of run. I don't consider myself a runner, but
You run. Yeah.
I had just actually run my first marathon, and I was really into it at that moment. So I was like, totally blurted my way into their conversation. I totally did. I was like, I'm a runner. And then I find out that she's run like 10 marathons and qualified for Boston. But that girl ended up becoming my very best friend. Yep. And that's where it started. It really started with me blurting my way awkwardly into a conversation that I wasn't invited to. Because I was like, me too. So I do think there's some elements of like, if you're more naturally introverted and shy, like I do feel like I am naturally a little bit more introverted and shy, but in those moments of transition, it's worth taking a deep breath and sort of, even if you have to fake it till you make it a little bit, pushing yourself a little bit outside of your comfort zone and just you make yourself a little awkward, be awkward.
And then the showing up, it turns into, you know, like you said, you met your best friend now, Rachel, right? Through that. I'm sure there were like multiple things that you tried, and of course not everything is gonna can be lasting, but
and some things it seems promising for a minute and you're like, and then you realize like, oh, this isn't quite right. You know, we went to that church for a year before we realized like, oh, this isn't quite right. But and it takes time. Yeah. But you'll find other things that are right, and lots of good came out of that. Like she ended up being a part of a group that started a small group that we got to be a part of, and that ended up becoming a church plant. And so I would have never foreseen any of that happening when, you know, my husband's boss was like, would you consider moving to Beaumont instead? You know, we thought it was just a year.
Yeah.
We didn't really want to, but it turned into something that was a lot more rich and sweet, and things that we were dramatically changed through the process of suffering through some of the discomfort of being in your not first choice place.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that really helped me here and actually in Italy too, in Italy, we went with a team. Honestly, like, it's so weird to go with a team like that where you really need them to be your friends, because that you end up learning that you can be friends with people who aren't exactly, you know, in college, you sort of pick people who are just like you, see the whole world the same way you do, and you can, easy to find those people. But the further you get along in life, the harder it is. And I really think even the further you get away from college, everybody continues to make different decisions in different directions. And so really people get more and more different. In my experience, all of our ideas and opinions continue to be formed in different ways. Anyway, the thing I learned on that team was that some of those people are people that I maybe would not have encountered any other way, and probably would have had a 5-minute conversation and been like, oh, great, but they're not become my best friend. But they had to be. They had to become. And I realized like my idea of who I can be friends with is more narrow than it needs to be. I actually can be friends and find things in common with so many more people if I let myself be curious about their life and ask questions. Like even like my friend Rachel, I easily could have been intimidated by her being so much better of a runner than me, or she has a bigger family, a lot more kids than I do. I easily could have let that sort of like scare me off. Or, you know, just some of the differences I could have let them. But from the very beginning, I kind of fought my impulse to separate based on somebody not being exactly what I have in my mind is like the person, right? I found that like that person can look like a whole variety of different things.
Yeah.
So that's one of my things that I think I do when we have moved to new places, has been like, be open-minded about the fact that friend might just not look exactly the way you expect it to be in your mind, right? Be open to some differences.
I definitely agree with that. And even just thinking back to my experience when I moved from Houston to Beaumont, I had this picture in my head of who I was going to be friends with. And the picture that I had in my head replicated my exact friend group in Houston. And obviously, yeah, I think there's such value, like you said, in opening up your mind. And so what does that look like when you're going into something, maybe meeting a new person with an open mind, like really just seeking to understand versus being heard and stuff like that?
You know, when I first moved to Italy, I was so young. I was 24 and we had only been married a couple of years. I mean, everything was so new, right? And obviously the culture was totally new to us. It was all very overwhelming. And I remember sort of hitting a wall at about several months in and feeling really kind of depressed.
Yeah.
it rains a lot in November in Italy. It is this ridiculously rainy season that they have. And that year was really bad. Out of the days in November, I think only 2 days it didn't rain. It rained basically every day. I had not made the sort of friendship connections the way I had envisioned I would, because it takes time to build a friendship, right? It's not going to feel like a 10-year-old friendship after 3 months with somebody like this. This doesn't happen. It takes time for them to get to know you. But I think the thing I actually realized was those friendships that you have in your life that are around you all the time that know you really well, they're like mirrors, right? And they reflect back to you who you are. So when I talk to my mom, who knows me since I'm little bitty and loves me, she reflects that back to me and helps build my sense of who I am, my identity. It's really easy to get into a habit of building our identity exclusively based on what other people think about us and the ways in which they interact with us. And so when you go into a new situation, a new town, or especially a place in which people don't know you anymore, and you have to start over to some extent, those mirrors are not there anymore. And it can cause an identity crisis of like, oh, like, who am I? I'm not sure I know who I am here. How do I show these new people in my life who I actually am? And I really, as I get older now, I'm getting better at understanding myself without the need for all of this mirrors to have a better self-understanding that comes more from within and more from the sense of who God says I am and what my personality is. It isn't just about who's going to be friends with me. A lot of it is about who can I be friends with? Like, what can I offer in their world? Because the truth is, everybody needs and wants community. They want it, and everybody's insecure about how to get there. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants friends, right? And it's not easy when you leave college. How do you make friends? Like, where do you go to make adult friends? Finding adult friends is really, dating. It's a really weird, awkward thing. But everybody needs it. Everybody wants somebody who really knows you, who you can call on a terrible day, and you don't have to explain yourself. You do have to go in with your eyes wide open to the fact that that doesn't just create itself. You have to work for it. You have to own your part. And a lot of times what that looks like is you thinking that you're doing all the work. It often, I think, if you're doing it right, will look like if I want to have good friends, I just have to text them all the time. I just have to text all the time. I have to text, I have to call, I have to show up, I have to plan weekends, and I can't sit around and wait for other people to do that and invite me.
I went on a women's retreat this weekend, and we talked a lot about relationship building. One of the big components of it was that it's really a selfless act. Like, when you think about finding friends and building community, I feel like my immediate tendency is to want to find a community that builds me up and that supports me and makes me feel comfortable in the space that I'm in. You said it earlier too, it's really the quite opposite, being that for someone else versus who can be that for me.
Well, and I think what you find is that the more you put yourself out there in an authentic way that's actually vulnerable, right? The more you like show up as yourself, not as some version of yourself you think that somebody else wants, right? But actually show up as your actual self and be vulnerable. I think you find that people they do kind of like mirror that. They'll match what you offer, you know? Not everybody will. Some people will be, just not everybody wants that. But I think you do, you will find people that will show up and say, okay, here I am too. And there are these little moments that I feel like they're critical, and you kind of have to look for them.
Hmm.
Or you might not see them at all. You have to keep your eyes open. But I think there are these moments where, well, there's the C.S. Lewis quote about friendship that basically says that you become a friend the moment you, somebody's talking and you go, oh, you do too? I like that too. I thought I was the only one. And that's how friendship is born. It's just simply a little thing in common, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that I have that in my mind, I really try to notice moments where that happens and sort of capitalize on them, you know,
yeah.
Like be that awkward person who's like, me too. Okay. Let's get together. Like, I'm not going to miss this opportunity, because if I just met you at a park, we're going to walk away and I'm never to see you again. Like, so I'm going to have to make myself kind of awkward and be like, hey, I should get your, like, we should
can I get your together. Number?
It's so awkward. Like, it's totally, you just will not get that moment back if you don't do it.
Yeah.
It'll be gone and you'll be like, I met this great person at the park today, period, end of sentence. Like in Beaumont, obviously, like, we had little kids, so we were going to the pediatrician, and for some reason, when you move someplace, like, you get all the new germs. So we were in the pediatrician's office, like, all the time. And I really liked this pediatrician. I was like, she's kind of, she's like my age. She's really nice. She was pregnant with her first kid. And I would, like, come home from those appointments and I'd be like, Henry, I want to be friends with her. So often she's our doctor, like, that seems like, is that inappropriate? But I was just sort of like, I just sort of made myself, I would just ask her questions. And eventually she invited us to the birthday party, and I introduced myself to someone at that party as, oh, I'm one of, you know, her my kids are her patients. And she stopped me and was like, no, you're my friend.
Yes, I've made it.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? People need friendship. Like, she needed friends as much as I did. She was new, having moved just recently back to Beaumont. And she needed, and it's like I had made the whole thing about me and my awkwardness and feeling awkward. And like, I'm going to make her awkward. That I had completely forgotten that, like, that awkwardness is inherent to every human, need to, like, go for it. And if they don't want to be friends with me, they'll slowly back away and I'll recognize the signs and it will all be fine. But the chances are pretty unlikely, right? The connection I'm sensing is real, and I need to capitalize on it. But for as many moments as I've had like that, I've had plenty of moments where I've had a connection with someone and have failed to capitalize on it and, you know, missed connections, like made a connection and didn't.
I feel like there's still value in those, though, because I've definitely had those too. I think back to, like, before I moved to Beaumont, I was in a coffee shop one afternoon and ended up, like, randomly just having, like, an hour-long conversation with the person sitting next to me. We didn't ever, like, get together after that or anything. But I mean, I still think back to that today, and it reminds me to, like, be friendly to people in the coffee shop.
Or, like, airplane flights. Yeah. Weird chance encounters.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That was an interesting
There's still value in them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be continued. JK, sorry, there's just really no good way to end a good conversation, but no worries. Part 2 with Michelle will be coming out 2 Wednesdays from now on April 14th, so definitely you do not want to miss the rest of that conversation. Hey, want to check in with you guys. We're 3 episodes in, and I want to know, are you loving the podcast? If so, there's a couple of things that you can do. The first thing, you can rate and review the show on iTunes. Other podcasters tell me that's helpful, so I'm going to trust them on that one. So definitely rate and review it. Also, you can show the show some love on Instagram, that is. You can drop me a DM and let me know what you love about the show, but also what you want to see more of. I would love to hear from you in that regard. And then finally, share the show with a friend, especially if there's an episode that has really resonated with you. Definitely send it over to them. It means the world to me that you guys are listening and loving the show so far. So definitely want to hear from you guys. That is all that I have for this week. April 14th continues my conversation with Michelle Dawson. Get excited about it. But until then, have a great week, guys. Catch you on the flip side.